You know, this month we will mark Veterans Day. It's Wednesday, next week Wednesday, November 11th. In advance of that, we thought we would bring you a story about a name you may have been hearing in the news a lot because of the recent COVID-19 cases. Yukio Okutsu was an Army soldier, part of the 100th Battalion in the famed 442nd Regimental Combat Team. His bravery during a battle in Italy was recognized. He single-handedly destroyed three enemy machine gun encampments. The Army veteran was honored with the Medal of Honor, the nation's most prestigious military award for valor, presented to him by President Bill Clinton in a ceremony at the White House. Here's Okutsu's story shared during that ceremony from June 2000, courtesy of the Clinton Presidential Library.
The Medal of Honor is awarded to Technical Sergeant Yukio Okutsu for extraordinary heroism in action on 7 April 1945 on Mount Belvedere, Italy. While his platoon was halted by crossfire of three machine guns, Technical Sergeant Okutsu boldly crawled to within 30 yards of the nearest enemy emplacement through heavy fire. He destroyed the position with two accurately placed hand grenades, killing three machine gunners. Crawling and dashing from cover to cover, he threw another grenade, silencing a second machine gun, wounding two enemy soldiers, and forcing two others to surrender. Seeing a third machine gun, which obstructed his platoon's advance, he moved forward through heavy small arms fire and was stunned momentarily by rifle fire, which glanced off his helmet. Recovering, he bravely charged several enemy riflemen with his submachine gun, forcing them to withdraw from their positions. Then, rushing the machine gun nest, he captured the weapon and its entire crew of four. By these single-handed actions, he enabled his platoon to resume its assault on a vital objective. The courageous performance of Technical Sergeant Okutsu against formidable odds was an inspiration to all. Technical Sergeant Okutsu's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit on him, his unit, and the United States Army.
And today you'll hear about another side to Yukio Okutsu. Okutsu was born in Koloa, Kauai. He died in Hilo at the age of 81 and is buried at the Hilo Veterans Cemetery. His story is featured in the Hawaii Herald. Journalist Carlene Chinnan told us she was bothered that she was hearing his name on the news because of the deaths at the veterans' home that bears his name. She got to know Okutsu after hearing about the friendship between a band of brothers, veterans who could be seen walking the streets of Hilo Town, pushing a wheelchair of one of their own. It's a compelling story she thought needed retelling. Chinnan retired recently as editor of the Hawaii Herald, but that story she wrote more than three decades ago is one that holds a special place in her heart. She shared the memories of the morning she first met the group of veterans on a gray, wet morning in Hilo Town. Toshio Nagami, Sadao Nishida, Wataru Kohashi, Robert Honda, and Yukio Okutsu were among them.
When I got to Hilo, it was raining, of course.
They
start at 8 a.m. And so I had to catch the 5:55 flight out of Honolulu to Hilo. And I'm not an early riser. So when I got there and it was raining and they told me to meet them at the parking lot at Kaikoo Mall, I was waiting for them and it was raining. And I thought, oh my gosh, please don't tell me that they canceled, you know. And I got out of bed early and came over here early for nothing. But then I started driving around the parking lot, and then I saw them. They're trying to maneuver his wheelchair over a curb. So then I parked the car and I ran over and I joined them. But, you know, it really was one of my favorite stories, if not my favorite story that I did, because it really taught me a lot firsthand about this bond that grows between veterans in battle, because they were all in the 442nd F Company, Fox Company. And most of the guys were from Hilo, but Yukio Okutsu, who everybody called him Yuki, was from Koloa, Kauai. But, you know, they ended up in the same company as the 442nd. So they went through training together, and then they went into combat together in the 442nd. And I guess that friendship, that bond was so strong, grew to be so strong. And, you know, it wasn't that many years that they served together in Europe. But I think that bond transcends time. you don't need a whole lot of time, years, to cement a relationship. His kids would refer to, you know, the F Company guys as uncle instead of Mr. So-and-so or whatever. It was always uncle.
So what do you remember of that morning as you were walking with them in Hilo, in rainy Hilo?
I remember that they were just kind of a fun-loving group of guys, and that they really cared about this guy. His name was Toshio Nagami, but they had nicknamed him Hoxie. And he was kind of a big guy, you know, when you think about it, you know, to get him into the wheelchair and all of that. And then along the way, and it wasn't like, you know, they weren't conscious that he was in a wheelchair. It was like he could have been walking with them, because they would joke with him and so-and-so and this and that and, yeah, Hoxie. And so they never saw it as, hey, we're doing something noble. You know, they just did it. They just did it because they originally thought that it would be good to get him out into the sunshine because his health was, you know, beginning to decline. Because he couldn't go anywhere, he couldn't see anybody. And so they just came up with this great idea to get him into a wheelchair twice a week, push him in the wheelchair around Hilo Town, and they would get their exercise at the same time, and they would get their errands done at the same time. So they never thought of it as anything heroic. They're pushing him down the streets in Hilo, and, you know, they pretty much had a route. So they would go along Kilauea Avenue towards old downtown, in the direction of the, you know, Hamakua coast. And then they would turn down, I forgot what street it was, and they passed by a bank, and somebody has to pay their mortgage. They run off, pay their mortgage, go to the bank, come back, catch up with the group. And then another one has to go and buy something. He leaves, does this, his business, comes back, joins the group, and they keep walking. And then they, you know, end up back at Kaiko'o Mall. But all the time, you know, they're just laughing and joking with each other and sharing experiences and talking story about something that happened. And, you know, I remember I shot one photo of them. They were all looking at an ambulance passing by, you know, to see what was going on with this ambulance. So, and I think they really cheered up the shop owners and the shoppers along the route because, you know, people could see that they were doing something good for someone else. And whether they were conscious of it or whatever, I don't think they did it because, you know, they wanted people to praise them or to, you know, tell them, hey, good job, you know, thanks for taking care of your friend. They just wanted to do it for Hawks. And so it was such a heartwarming story. This was in 1986, maybe Sadao Nishida, who was the first to retire, started maybe a few years earlier, but this is like 40 years after the war, at least 35 years after the war. And yet, you know, this bond was still there. And it meant so much to Hoxie because he was just smiling from ear to ear. I think he really, really looked forward to it. That introduction to my story in 1986, it started off with this line, Hilo's such a rainy old town. You know that song from Robert Beaumont and Jerry Santos?
Mm-hmm.
Hilo's such a rainy old town. And then at the end of the story, I ended it, say, with the line from another Olomana song, I love you, Hilo. Soon the clouds will disappear and the rainbow will smile on you.
Yeah,
but I, you know, so when I would go back to Hilo a couple times later, I walked with them and just, you know, just to catch up and talk story with them. And, you know, that's how my friendship with the Okutsus developed. Watching the news night after night, hearing, you know, another person died at the Yukio Okutsu home. And I wrote the story almost 34 years ago. And these guys, I think there's the only one left is Wataru Kohashi. He's the only one left, I think, of four guys who walked with Hoxie. So they can't get out there and say, hey, you know who really Yukio Okutsu was? You know, they're not going to be able to, they're not able to do that. They wouldn't do that. And their families probably would not do that either. But I, you know, what's my friendship with them for if I don't say anything? because it really bothered me day after day listening to the death toll climb at that facility. And I knew that people were thinking, who's this Yukio Okutsu, you know? And I think if you don't, in the back of my mind, I wondered whether at some point someone might say, you know, we should just change the name of the facility. And I didn't want that to happen. You know, he was a Medal of Honor recipient, but he didn't boast about it. But, you know, that's something to be proud of. And he was the only one from the Big Island. So I just kind of thought that, you know, having been their friend for so long, I really needed to say something. If people didn't want to pay attention, that's fine. But I needed to say something in order to, you know, feel peace with myself. And it wasn't hard to write because I had all of these great memories of being with them. And I remember, you know, sitting at the kitchen table in the Okutsu home and saying, hey, Yuki, you're gonna get that Medal of Honor. And he goes, one of his comments was, and I was just reminded of it a couple of weeks ago when I talked to his son Randy, and Randy said something about, and then he said, used the expression, shucks, oh shucks, and it all of a sudden it came back to me. Yuki would always use that term, that word, shucks. It's like, oh yeah, and he would always say shucks. So hearing it again was just brought back memories. But at that time, sitting at the table with Yuki, I said, you're going to go to Washington. You're going to get that Medal of Honor. He said, yeah, but, you know, it's really about how the citation is written up, as if good writing will get you a Medal of Honor. And I just didn't believe him. And I think if you read the citation, you understand that, you know, that's not it. He really was selfless. He really just did his job as he thought he had to do.
Humble.
And I don't think you think about it in that moment as a soldier. You just go. It's just probably fueled by adrenaline.
Yeah, you just do it.
You know, he was just the most low-key guy you could meet. He would be in his hot houses working on, you know, taking care of his anthuriums. And, you know, that's what he loved doing.
Did the family say anything? What did they share with you about, you know, hearing his name tied to COVID?
Family, you know, his son is very low key, mm-hmm. so he didn't say anything.
Okay.
But he was happy that I was writing it. His nieces and grandniece were really, really happy because, you know, they have such good memories of spending time with their aunt and uncle. But, you know, the amazing thing is that I've gotten emails from and texts from friends. People, you know, like I thought, they didn't know who he was. So there was one that got this morning. He said, I'm glad I don't just associate his name / facility with COVID anymore.
That was Carlene Chinnan, retired editor of the Hawaii Herald, sharing the Yukio Okutsu story. As she said, she thinks of him whenever she sees anthuriums because that was his beloved hobby. So the next time you come across Obake Anthuriums, you can remember the humble, caring man with deep ties to his fellow vets. You can find the Hawaii Herald and that story about Yukio Okutsu on stands in local supermarkets or by subscription.